house of the Lord. Amen. Today we get to come together. We've worshiped together. We've taken communion together. I want to share with you before we get started what we as a church pray for you as the body of believers. We pray out of Ephesians, the first chapter in the 17th verse, that you would know God. And I'm not talking about a knowing of him, but you would actually know him in a personal relationship. That you would find freedom. Freedom through his word and small groups here at the church. That you would find in family and friends and confessing your faults one to another. That you would find this literal freedom that you can possess in your life. Because if you're not free, how can you help free others? That you would discover your God-given purpose, because each and every one of you were made and designed so unique that there's something that each one of you can only bring to this life, this time, and this space that God chose you to be created for. That you would use that purpose to make a difference, not just in your church body, but that you would take that difference and that purpose into your workplaces, into your families, and into this world that is lost and needs a Savior. Amen? That's our purpose. That's our plan for your life. And I hope that through Sunday services, we can do that for you today. So today we're going to go into the part two of a praise series. If you're new here today and this is your first time, I know there's some visitors out there. I went through some of the crowd this morning just trying to put names and faces together. And I know you're out there, and I say welcome to Only Believe. We would love to have you make this your family. But if not, and you're just passing through, that's okay too. But I want to catch you up to speed. So last week we started in praise, and we identified that praise comes from three positions. Not only does praise position you as a believer to receive the promises of God, because praise is a faith position. Praising him for what he's done, position one. For what he's doing in your life right now. And number three, for what he's going to do. So praise becomes a place of faith being released through our actions. Praise is a verbal response. I was driving in my car the other day and I threw my hands up like this. Now my knee's still on the steering wheel. But the person next to me about lost their mind. They're like, what? And I'm like, oh, sorry. I was just praising God. This song comes on the radio. I'm just praising him. But I don't give him one hand, I give him both. And my knee's still on the wheel. I know, that's distracted driving. Never tell a policeman, I was praising Jesus when I had the accident, Lord. I'm not giving you an excuse, young kids. Do not use that as an excuse. My point is, praise is a place of faith in the believer's life. And you and I have a voice, and we have actions, we have hands. People can look at you without even hearing your mouth open and know that you are praising something, because you're lifting your hands up, or you're dancing, or you're in joy. You have a heart of gratitude and thankfulness. Today, I want to come from a different position, and I want to talk about thankfulness and praise coming from the position that it brings you into his presence. You're like, what? Yeah, do you know that praise positions you to be in a place where God resides? And I'm going to show you where today. So we're going to start our reading in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter today, the 15th verse through 16. And if you don't have the NLT, which is the version I'm going to use today, please go ahead and look at the screen and we'll walk you through it, especially if this is your first time here. Now I'm going to give you a little preface of what we're reading. We're reading about the Ark of the Covenant and David bringing back David, King David, you know, the guy that swung his stones around and killed Goliath. We've all heard these stories as a young child. But if you're new, I don't want to assume that you know what we're talking about. David, the Ark of the Covenant, which is where they kept the presence of God. I know, big story, but this is old covenant. Now we have a better covenant, and we know that the presence of God lives and walks with man inside of us right now. But in order for today's reading, we have to understand what the old way looked like. The Philistines, Goliath and his brothers, after he had been killed, literally, they come and steal the ark where the presence of God is, because they think if they can steal the presence of God from the Israelites, that surely they're going to lose their mind and God's not going to be with them, because he's not in a gold box they carry around. The problem was, is that the Ark of the Covenant and the presence of God was only good to those who were holy. So the Philistines were not holy. So they're like, get rid of this box. This is hurting us, people. We've got more men dead by trying to move, touch, and facilitate this box than any before. We're dropping like flies. They're like, get rid of it. Take it back to those Israelites and give it back. So they give it back. And it stays with a man. And his family takes care of this box for over 20 years. But in the meantime, David has become king. And David has the heart of God. David knows that without the presence of God, he's nothing. David is a worship leader of all worship leaders. David's been keeping sheep in a field. And he's like singing, playing all day long. He's got musical skills like no other. So he knows how to praise God. But he also knows what the presence of God is like and to be in the midst of it. Amen. Take that to heart. David says, we got to go get that ark and bring it back to our house. And we've got to reinstate worship with our God the right way. We're not going to worship him from afar. We're going to worship him in a temple, in a church, in a place where we're going to build where this ark is going to live, right? So this is where we pick up. This is 2 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And here's what it says. It says, so David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David, now mind you, Michal was David's wife. Remember, when he killed Goliath, the part that he rewarded was that he got to wed Saul's daughter, Michal. He got the king's daughter. So he got royalty if he killed Goliath, which he did. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. Now move on down to 20 for the sake of time. It says, when David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, how distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to those servant girls like any vulgar person must do. David retorted to Michal, I was dancing before the Lord. Now, I think he could have stopped there, but he continued in a spiteful manner. Who chose me above your father and all of his family? I think there's a little bit of an undertone there in their marriage. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished. Here's the point. Now, mind you, looking back onto culture, David was not exposing himself on purpose. David's heart was correct in the way he was worshiping. The fact was, is that then they had a loincloth which covered them. And in his aggressive dance and celebration, his loincloth began to flap. Now, if your heart had been in the wrong place, then it might have been vulgar what you saw. But had your heart been in the right place, what you would have seen would not have brought a shame, but brought a distinguished behavior that said, look at that man losing his mind because of what God has done for the people of Israel, so unashamed that he didn't care what he looked like. He didn't care what judgment thoughts were being brought. And by the way, mind you, this is his wife from the palace walls watching him. How could she see what was under that loincloth? I mean, for real, how far away are you that you even know what was really being seen? The assumption of everything. Let me tell you something. I believe David was praising God for what he had done, for what he was doing, and what he was about to do. Remember, David didn't just kill a lion and a bear. This is what David probably looked like. I'm going to look like an idiot, but I'm going to give you an advance. Don't write your letters about how crazy the lady looked. I'm saying that he probably ran around singing, "Lord, I thank you that you gave me the lion and the bear. I thank you that you gave me Goliath. When his head fell, all of his brothers came in line. I didn't kill one. I killed them all. All because your name was with me. I am proud to bring the presence of the Lord back to the king, back to Israel, where we can worship, where we can restore, where we can automatically walk into the presence of God. I'm thankful about what you've done. I'm thankful about what you're doing." He's not thinking about his loincloth. He's not thinking about how undignified he became. All he can think about is how good God has been to him and his generation and his family. Thinking, "Dear God, you saved me from Saul when he shot an arrow across the room and tried to kill me. Yet it went beside me. I hid out in a cave, and as I was crying and crying out to you, Saul was being killed on a sword. Why? Also that I could walk into the anointing and restore the kingdom of Israel for your glory." Sometimes people in praise and in worship, you look at them, you think, "My gosh, what's going on?" I'll tell you what's going on. They're celebrating who God was. They're celebrating who he is, and they're celebrating what he will be in their life. It's faith being demonstrated. It's faith being released through their actions, through their words, through their deeds. You know, when you're in Africa, I've told this story before, but in their worship services, they were a little weird. Hear me out. I'm not kidding. If we moved parts that the Africans move, we would be kicked off this stage. And I asked one of the girls worshiping there, I said, I can't remember her name, it's not Sharima, but it's something like that. I said, "What are you doing when you worship like that?" She said, "Honey, we believe every part on your body should worship God." Amen. I said, "What?" She said, "This hair is not meant to make me beautiful. This hair is meant to bring glory to God." She said, "If I have a finger, my finger can move for Jesus. If I have a toe, my toe can worship the Almighty God." And I'm like, "What? These people don't stop." From start to finish, it was like a hard rock. Elliot, breaking chains, would be thrilled right now. They're, "Rah!" And I'm like, "Bro, God gets your point. You can relax a little." But it wasn't. They're so thankful for where God's brought them from. They're thankful they have water to drink. They're faithful they got rice to eat. They're faithful that their children lived another day. Amen. Maybe it's that we here in America just don't understand what it's like when God has to meet every single need. Somebody, something to praise God for in our lives. Amen. Amen. David, praise equals an act of uninhibited, overflowing, joyful, boisterous recounting of God's goodness. I think that 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says it best. It says that God will for your life is that you and I would give thanks in all circumstances. Someone say all. I can think of some family members here today that are in a position that thankfulness is really hard to muster. When something you love, some of you might not know, we lost a longtime member, Deb Kaiser, today. You know what? I remember sitting in these kids' position. I can't say I was in Brett's position because I've never been a wife and lost somebody. So I don't understand. By the way, sometimes when you don't know what to say, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. It's just a little bit of help. I learned that through the years. I wish I could have taken everything back I ever said to a grieving family because I didn't understand. Sometimes now that you walk a little, just a few blocks in someone's shoes, you understand what not to say. Sometimes just being there is enough. A text that says, "I love you, I'm praying." I have one family in the church that texts me on a regular basis and they say, no need to respond. By the way, that's the best text anyone can receive. Just like to say that. For those of you that are introverts and the non-communicative ones, that's me. I'm going to get around to your text, but it's going to take me a little bit. Anyways, I think of this family and I think of where they're at, and you know what? They've got to reach. They got to reach to find a reason to praise. They got to reach for this place out of a heart of faith, because sometimes you don't feel like life was fair. You don't feel like you were dealt a deck of cards that was fair. Sometimes life isn't fair. And in the midst of that unfairness, in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that turmoil, in the midst of the struggle, you got to dig deep down into your soul and you got to find a reason to praise. You got to find a reason. We've all been there in some part of our life. But I trust you. Out of that one reason to praise, that glimmer of hope begins to breed life, begins to breathe thankfulness, gratitude, and you realize that you live to breathe another day. And though the thing that you love the most might not be here with you, the thing that you love more than anything in this life, which is Christ, has already provided his way for you, and because of that way, you will meet the loved one you miss. Stay the course. Stay the course. Find a reason to be thankful. Let's move on to Psalms 100, 1 through 5. We're going to spend the majority of our text here today because it's so beautiful. Here's what it says. It says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. I mind you that if you can look at number 3, the third verse, it says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. That's past. And we are his. David, the worship leader, is writing this psalm, and he says, remember that the Lord is good. He made us. Then he goes on to acknowledge. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We were his people. We gonna be his people. We are. It's present. You're watching David. Praise him from the past. Praise him for the immediate place I am right now. But look what it says. Go all the way down to the end. It says his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. David writes scripture. He says, I've never seen my people, God's people, begging for bread. What's that mean? I'm watching him be faithful generation to generation to generation. David knows how to praise. But just like I said last week, David is inviting us in. Do you remember last week it said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Put a magnifying glass on God in your situation and look at it through his eyes. Because when you look at your struggle, when you look at your life problem with God's magnification on it, you realize that it's really small and that he is much larger than any problem you could ever have. Amen. David again invites us in. He says, come before him singing with joy. Come, enter. Let me talk to you about this. The invitation that David's giving is an invitation for you to prepare to come into the presence of God. Let's go back Old Testament. Old Testament, there was a temple. It's a tent. There's gates around this place. And you walk in through the gate, and there's a court. And this court is where people hang out and they talk and they offer up sacrifice and praise unto their God before, some of you might know this as the outer courts. Those of you who were born in my day, take me past the outer courts into your holy place. Take me past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. Only found one place. It's holy. It's holy. What they're doing is there's the outer courts, which you've got to get beyond in order to get to the inner courts, because the inner courts is where the priests are that are holy, because no one can be in God's presence back in the Old Testament if you were unholy. Well, how many of you have never sinned? Exactly. There's not a hand in the place. None of us were holy. In fact, the priests themselves, just to make sure, they'd tie a rope around their ankle so that when they went into the Holy of Holies, if the man falls over dead, they'd pull him back out because there ain't nobody holier than him. Right. I just want to let you know, your pastors live a holy life. If you got to tie a rope around our feet to come into church, that's a problem. We're doing our best to live a holy life, but because of the price that Christ paid, no longer is the Holy of Holies only for the priest. It's for you and I, and I'm going to show you why. So in this box where the presence lives, there's a Holy of Holies. David's inviting you, and he's giving you instructions on your invitation. This is a new thing, maybe for those of you that have not been to a baby shower lately. Let me give you the newest craze. Baby showers come with an invite, but on the invite, there are prerequisites. I promise you, there are. I used to do this with my kids, but I would have parents wear certain colors so that all the pictures looked really good for the scrapbook. But now, you don't show up to a baby shower with a gift and a card. You show up to the baby shower with a gift and a book. Because you're going to pay $8.95 for a card if it's got any little flower on it or a little baby bassinet lifted off the page. It's $8.95 from Pyrus or whatever that company is. I don't even remember. It's highway robbery. So now instead of buying a card, just buy a book and sign the book. And then the baby knows you were at their shower when they grow up because they see your name in the book. So it's like a forever card. But the point is that there's an invitation with a requirement. David gives this requirement when he asks us to come in. Here's what he says. Go back to your Psalms chapter. Look what he says. He says, enter. Well, let me just start at the beginning. I'll start at the part of it that says, worship with gladness. Come. There's the invite. Before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge him. In other words, admit that God is real. Admit that he's more than a normal person. Admit that he deserves your joy. Admit that he's worthy. Does God deserve praise in you and I's life? Is there anything that you can thank him for that you couldn't do for yourself that he's done for you? How about salvation? Forgave me of my sins, paid a price, paid a ransom that I could not pay on my own, that I deserved a debt. I deserved the one to be on the cross, yet he went for me to give me an eternity that I could live with him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. This word gates means that it's an opening, a door, a gate, if you will. Let's turn to John, the 10th verse, the 9th chapter. Look at this. You're going to find this very informative. Some of you are saying, I already know that scripture, but there's a lot of new believers that might not know it, so we're going to go there anyways. It says, John 10:9, it says, I am the gate. These are red letters for those of you that have a red letter Bible. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. That doesn't mean go into being saved, go out and be a backslider, go into being saved and come out a backslider. It means you will go into the presence of the Lord and find pasture. you'll find rest, you'll find peace. And then you'll go about some of your daily activities, and then you'll come back to find pasture and to find relationship with our shepherd. With our shepherd. He is the gate. Jesus is the gate. In fact, we'll come on back to that. Then it says, they will come in and find pasture. Go, here's a command, into his courts with praise. The word courts means a yard, usually enclosed with a fence. Do you realize that when you and I enter in by the blood of Jesus and go into the outer courts of the temple or into our outer courts, we are protected? Do you know how you get there? Go enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Do you realize that praise is a protection? Praise is a place that there are yards of people around you, but there is protection from the outside enemies. In the city of Israel, where they would come in and worship their king, they were protected. All they had to do was pass through the gate with thanksgiving and step into his courts with praise. Amen. That's symbolic of you and I today, that we step into the blood of Jesus. And we step into this outer court, and with praise, we acknowledge who God is. We come into this outer place, but there's an inner place that we want to get to. But without entering through the gate with thanksgiving, and without coming into his courts with praise, you'll never find yourself available to the Holy of Holies, where the true presence of God exists. See, when Christ went to the cross, in the outer courts there was this temple, but in the Holy of Holies there was a curtain that came down, and you could only see the presence of God through the curtain radiate upon you. I don't want to be on the outside of the curtain. I want to be on the inside where the presence of God is, because on the outside is only watching your experience with Christ. I want to be on the inside with God, where he's walking with me, he's talking with me because of the blood of Jesus. Turn your Bible to Matthew. I want to show you in 27:50. This is before Christ is finished on the cross. And here's what he says. We're going to go to 50. He's literally on the cross. Let's back it up just to maybe 47. It says, let's go to the NLT. That's where I marked it. Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought that Jesus was calling for the prophet of Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. This is when he was on the cross, hanging there. But the rest said, wait, let's see whether Elijah comes to save him. Little bit of mockery. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. Listen closely. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Why? Because Christ had now become the sacrifice. Christ became you and I's righteousness that we could never obtain on our own. Even if I try, even if I strive, I'm still gonna fall short because I'm human. But Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice for you and I. He became our forever priest. We don't need a priest to offer up a sacrifice. He was the living sacrifice, and he was holy. And because he is holy and righteous, I now live in that righteousness. I put on Christ's righteousness so that I can boldly walk in to the inner sanctity of God and ask what I will. Ask what I will. We're going to go on down. I'm going to prove more to you about that. We're going to go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, the 19th verse. Believe it or not, I'm going to be wrapping things up, because I'm teaching you exactly what you need in order to go into the presence of God. This is what it says, 19 through 22. I thought I marked it. Oh, I did. Yeah. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain to the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest, Jesus, who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Church, I'm here to remind you that Jesus didn't come to do away with the Old Testament. He came to fulfill the Old Testament. And though he became our blood, though he became the righteous sacrifice that split the curtain and you and I can walk in boldly with confidence and talk to the living God who now walks and abides with me, I still can only enter into the kingdom of God one way, and that's through his son Jesus. That's through the blood of Jesus, to admit that I am a sinner and that I need God more than I need anything else, and that it's in his price, his payment for my life and for my sins that I did not deserve, but he gave me grace and mercy. It's by that blood that I can boldly proclaim and walk into the courts of God and begin to praise and speak his name of what I know he has done, what he's going to do, and what he is doing in my life today. It's by that blood, it's by that precision, by that position that I get to walk into the Holy of Holies. Amen. I picture an old-time movie, Kings, Queens, where the king is sitting on his throne with his scepter. He's got his crown, and they hold this ball. I don't understand this. I don't know what that ball means. And this is what they look like to show their royalty. And all the commoners start making a line and making a line and making a line. They got sheep for sacrifices. They've got gold they're bringing. Why? They're trying to enter. David, come up here. Be the king. Be the king. Sit with your scepter and your ball. Yeah, just play the part for me.
All right.
And they come up and they're like, oh, now, hold on. I am not bowing before any king. I am simply just using David as an example to you. Please. I'm not bowing my knee. I'm not even over there. Oh, king, please, if you just understood what's happening in my part of the neighborhood. The sheep are going crazy and the foxes are eating our chickens and we have nothing to pay our taxes with. Would you please look into this matter for us, sir? Yes. And you leave your offering. Is that not what they show on TV? Yeah. Let me show you the way this... Okay, get off the king. Now you're not king no more, David. Here's what this looks like to God. You come into his gates. You've already got the right to come into the castle. You are his children. You are his people. And you walk up to the throne. You don't walk... Let me tell you this. Your approach is everything to God. Don't you dare walk in to the presence of God without humility, right, without honor, yeah, and without respect. Amen. But by all means, do not cower, right, and act like he's going to kill you because of your sin. Because I'm going to tell you, this is what it looks like. Sorry, media. I know I'm going in the dark. This is the beginning of God's temple. Now, I'm going to be real quick. There is not a Sunday I don't pray this before I come out to preach to you. Dear God, if there be anything in my life that is unholy, then I ask you to forgive me. Purify my heart, purify my mind. God, bring anything back to my heart that would be unpleasing to you. And I repent. You want to know why? God needs a clean vessel to use. He needs a clean, sanctified vessel. And I might not have done it on purpose, but I'm not perfect. And I might have made a mistake. But I don't live in the shame and the gloom of that mistake. I literally walk in like Hebrews 10:19, like I own who this is, because I am his child and I am his daughter. And I say, Heavenly Father, I've got a request. I'm about to deliver the hardest message I've ever delivered. And I need humility and I need honor and I need pride out of my life. And don't let me hurt anyone with my words, God. Let me be pleasing to you. And you know what? He takes that gold scepter and he touches my lips and he takes the coal and puts it upon me and says, you are my choice for today. You are the same. You are the same. But you enter those courts with thanksgiving. You offer those praises up to him because your approach is everything. Lose your inhibitedness. Lose your uptightness. Wear clothing that you can shed in the midst of God's presence and still be decent. Let your hearts be arrested. Let your hearts be arrested that we would allow men's opinions of what they think of us to alter how we offer up praise to our living God. Who cares what they think? Who cares what the world says about us? Who cares? God says we are his children. God says we are righteous. God says that he doesn't remember what we've done, that he threw it from the east as far as to the west, the west is to the east, whatever, it doesn't matter, just don't come back. I am his child. And because of that, I now boldly come to approach and ask anything in his name. He grants my request. He cares about what I care about. If I'm hurting, so is he. If I'm in need, he meets the need. If I'm sick in my body, he brings, in the old ways, myrrh, frankincense, herbs. Here, give this to her. She's ill in her body. This is what happens. We have healing at the cross. We have healing at the foot of Jesus. Do you get that? And every time the devil brings up an accusation, when I'm kneeling before God and I'm asking what I have, the devil goes, yeah, but you don't know what she did last week. And Jesus says, shh, I paid her price. She can boldly approach her father anytime she wants. Shut your mouth. And begins to vindicate me for in the inner courts of the Most High God. I'm not an illegitimate child. I am a child of the Most High God. Church, I love you, but we must identify that praise is a powerful weapon that's been given to you and I. And to sum it all up, there's an invitation on the table. And we all got it. All we have to do is acknowledge that he is. Enter the gate with thanksgiving. Be thankful for Jesus, our sacrifice. Come into the courts. Go into the courts with praise and with confidence. Walk straight to the Holy of Holies. Stand at your feet. Praise prepares you to meet God. Praise prepares you to petition your Father. Today, though our message is over, I invite you today to say yes to Jesus. Just as we were invited to come into the gate through Jesus, today I invite you to come through Jesus. Some of you here today may have never asked Christ into your heart. Some of you have, but you're far away. That's okay. It's okay. It's not okay to stay there. You need to come into the family of God, into and through the gate, into his temple, into this place where you can abide with him and make things right. Worship him. Worship with others as we acknowledge who he is. It's easy to get off track. It's easy to lose our way. But it's time that you get all the way in. You couldn't come into the courts if you just stood at the gate and watched. Step through the gate with Jesus today. Accept him as your personal savior and let him become that blood sacrifice for you. Your ransom, your salvation, your redemption. By the way, with that redemption comes a transforming work from the Holy Spirit, meaning that a work you can't do on your own, he begins to do for you. The people you look around and you think they all have it perfect, their life's perfect, that's not true. That's not true. We've just submitted our life to God and allowed the Holy Spirit to make us better. We're still far from perfect. There's the old song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, what I was meant to be, what I should be, what I can be. It took him 6 days to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and blah, 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 blah. God's still working on me. If there's anyone in the house today that wants to recommit their life to Christ, then I'm going to ask that you come down now. If there's anyone in this house that says, Pastor Nicole, I'm just a visitor here today and I didn't even come for church, but I'm glad I came and I want Jesus to be a part of my life, then this is for you as well. Is there anyone in the house that would acknowledge I've been far away and now I want to come home? Or that this is your first time and you want to meet Jesus and live for him and do it with people who are doing it too? It's a part of the family. Anyone. Anyone in this house that would be bold enough to say, I want to live for you, Jesus. All right. With that being said, I've made the announcement about our member, Deb. If you need details, you can go to our Only Believe Facebook page. It'll have all the details of her viewing and the funeral. And the family will be receiving people on Monday, I believe, and then Wednesday is the funeral. Tuesday, sorry. Thank you. Monday viewing, Tuesday. I don't know why I lost a day. With that being said, that's the sad news of our service. But we also have a good news. The good news is that in spite of death, which will happen to all of us, life is still happening. Life is still going on. And we have a new baby in order to celebrate that today. That's going to dedicate, their families come to dedicate their baby in front of God. And Miracle, who got baptized today, her and her husband Ryan want to dedicate Eliana today in front of all of you. It's not something they wanted done private. And church, I charge you today that when a family asks for you to be a part of a baby dedication, it means a lot to them because they're pledging their love to Jesus and their responsibility of that child in front of all of you. And that's huge because you know what that says? It says that you matter in the family's life. It says that they care what you think and that they know you're watching the way they raise their child. That's a beautiful place. I know for us, we call you our tribe. And I know that sounds crazy, but you're a part of our God-given tribe that helps us with our children. So as Ryan and Miracle come today, and Eliana, it's such a beautiful name. Oh, look at her.
I thought it was Elena, but it's Eliana.
Eliana.
I know.
Honey, it's a beautiful name.
I know.
So Eliana Grace Ott was born on July 31st, 2024. She was weighing 7 pounds and 2 ounces. Ryan and Miracle, you're both here to dedicate your baby because you believe that you're here to acknowledge that you need God's help. Let's be honest. We can't do it on our own, and if we think we should, then we're in trouble. You're here accepting responsibility in front of this whole congregation, that you're not taking this lightly, that you understand what it takes to raise a child that will love the Lord with all of her heart. You're teaching her to live in a righteous place and not sin. And you're going to do your best. Trust me, you're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. Show her how to live by example. Don't be afraid to apologize when you get it wrong. Your first time having a daughter this age, right? Church, we've all been there, and you might not get it right, and that's all right. Apologize. Live by example when you read and you pray. Let her hear it. Let her hear the word of the Lord. Bring her to church. Stay committed. count on your church family to help you in times of need. We're here, and we love you. The Bible says, train up a child in the way she would go, and when she's old, she will not depart from it. You're proof of that. Ryan, you were raised in the house of God, and you had your moment. But now look at you. And I'm not saying you're old by any means, but you're home, and we'll take it. And you're smart, and you're doing what God wants you to do for your life, and you're putting your child back together in your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, God knows the future and the plans that he has for your baby girl and for you. And it's to give you hope. It's to give you a life of blessing and good things. He doesn't mean you harm. Don't take the bait when the devil, something's hard in life, and says, yeah, God gave that. No, he didn't. The devil's the one who came to kill, steal, and destroy. But God came to give you life and more abundantly. Randy, you always pray the prayer of blessing and prosperity.
Oh, Father, stretch your hands, tribe, family, come on, pray with us. Father, we come before you today. We bring this wonderful family to you. God, you've had your hand on them since the beginning. God, I thank you for what you've done in Miracle's life and Ryan's life. God, from where you've brought them already. And God, we thank you for this extra miracle that you've given them today. Lord, you've known her name before the ends of the earth, before the earth was created and even come to being. You have put her in this family, Lord, to raise her and guide her.
Yes, God.
Father, we dedicate her today to you, Lord Jesus. And I plead the blood of Christ over her life right now in the name of Jesus. Devil, you can't touch her. You can't have her.
That's right.
I thank you, Father, for health and healing and blessing into her life all the days of her life. God, I even thank you now that you even have her husband's name already ready for her, Lord God, a man that will love you and that will hate sin as well. God, give them wisdom, God, and understanding beyond their years to help raise and protect Lee Eliana today. God, I thank you for all that you're doing for this family and for her and her life. Oh, God, I thank you for it all. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Church.
Good job, guys. Right?
What a celebration. When babies are being born, people are being baptized, and people are being born again, you can't ask for a better life and a church that is growing and thriving in God. Our goal for you is to build a healthy church that you could trust, that you could love, that you could learn, and that you could grow. And we thank you for coming out on this Sunday. Do you want to dismiss us?
Yes, and obviously if you need prayer for anything,
come on up.
Please come on down. Our prayer team is here after the service for you, so we'll be glad to pray for you and do anything we can for you. So, Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. God, we thank you for the teaching, your word. That, Lord God, it will not just hit our heads, but God, it will go into our hearts, Lord Jesus, and that we will begin to worship you and praise you, Father, with this revelation in a new and greater way. God, I thank you for blessing everybody that stands here under the sound of my voice. I thank you, Father, that they're blessed as they leave today. Every place that they put their foot, Lord, you bless them, Father, because they're King's kid. We're joint heirs with you, Jesus. I thank you for favor this week wherever they go, Lord God. The promotions, Lord God, to come this week. The new jobs to come this week, God. Families restored this week in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it all, God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We love you all. Have a great week.